Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good Thursday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. We are live on the Fan from our Half Street Studios in D.C. in the Navy Yard. And we are taking you all the way up to 6:30 tonight. On the Fan in 2 hours, right at 4 o'clock, we'll give away tickets to one of our listeners to go see the Capitals at Capital One Arena. Danny, how are you?
I'm good, my friend. This is one of those weird days. I'm not going to spend too much time talking about the weather, where like it looks cold, and it's actually like not cold at all. You know what I'm talking about? Like it's so rainy and dreary, and it's like, okay, I'm doing some November rain, Guns N' Roses bits. But it's not. It's like in the 60s, and it's comfortable. That's what I got for you.
One of my favorite bits is to talk about how you just start the show with your observation on the weather most days.
Yeah.
Somebody made a Grant and Danny show.
Bingo board kind of thing.
Bingo board. It should just be that Danny's opening comments after like 18 hours of waiting to go back on the radio.
Just bemused about the weather.
Generally, whatever observation he has looking out the window at the weather.
Can you believe it? Oh, the weather. I've turned into an old man. I just want to give financial advice. Talk about like practical things you can do.
I'll let you start with the weather. I'm going to start with the Nationals hiring a new manager.
We got one.
They are in the process of finalizing a deal with Blake Butera to manage the team. He is 33 years old. Danny, we are both decidedly older than both the new president of baseball operations, 35-year-old T-Bone, Paul Taboni, who sat in that seat with us for an hour.
That's right.
And the 33-year-old skipper-to-be, Blake Butera of the Washington Nationals. He is going to be the youngest manager introduced when the Nats finalized their deal with him in the big leagues since 1972. Pretty amazing. You're going back over 50 years to find a manager hired this young. His experience includes 4 years as a minor league skipper at the single A level, where in those four seasons he finished in first place four times and was a two-time champion at his level. He then went to the player development side, all in the Rays organization. There are very few orgs. When it comes to not spending money and winning baseball games, there's nobody better than Tampa Bay. You've dipped into that talent pool, a guy that coached, that managed, and he has run their player development staff over the last couple of years. So this is a developmental mind, an instructor, a teacher. And at just 33 years old, he will be young and have energy to match a very young clubhouse. This is ballsy. This is a big risk.
This is a limb.
35-year-old GM to hire a 33-year-old manager that most people outside of the inner workings of baseball don't know. But I got to tell you, Danny, I love it.
Well, it's exciting. And it's exciting because it shows boldness. It's very easy to go, this guy managed the bigs before, did fine. You know, your NFL equivalent of a Dan Quinn, to be honest with you, right? Or MLB equivalent of a Dan Quinn. Someone that's been around, good track record, players like decades of sample, involved with the Legion of Boom, coordinator for Dallas with a turned you over a lot, Super Bowl trip with Atlanta. That's safer. That's easier. Big league manager with big league time, you know, has done the walk to the mound to change pitchers at the big league levels. Then everything with the major leaguer before. There's going to be, you know, a dozen players probably per weekend that are older than this guy. This is a bold hire. And it tells you a lot, I think, about this front office. They are not here to wait around. They are not here to get the approval of baseball's old guard. They're going to run things a certain way. And to me, when you, something you used to talk about all the time when you were grilling Bruce Allen correctly, is why don't you go get the sous chef from the best kitchen? Why don't you do that? Well, they went to a pretty good kitchen where you develop players on a budget to compete with the big boys that have 10x payrolls of what you do at the major league level, and said, we are going to make this thing efficient. We're going to take the guys that not everybody else could and would deal with and turn them into quality big leaguers at a fraction of a cost. Very easy to get a headline and go get $300 million worth of this great, exciting player from Japan that hasn't set foot here and win posting fees. Very easy to go dip your toes in a free agency and go sign Juan Soto to $500 million. This is harder, right? But this is kind of the mold. You want someone that's been in that kitchen picking, having players come to your doorstep and you go, you're responsible for them being a lot better. Come back and see in a couple months.
Here's what I like most about this move. There's a few things that right away, and I'm reacting to his resume, not the person specifically, because I don't know him personally. I haven't been around him. I've texted some people who have worked with him, above him, below him in organizations and gotten some good intel, and they all absolutely rave about him. But I am reacting to the idea of hiring a 33-year-old who's never been a big league manager, who has managed at the minor league level, who's worked in player development. And here's what I really like. Number one is what you just said. You're going to the player development and scouting monster Toboni's trying to build here in D.C. that the Rays have, and you're plucking one of their elite young talents away. Smart. You ran player development. He's coached in one of the best systems in the sport. He's managed at that minor league level. Good. On top of that, I think that he is exactly going to be in lockstep, like-minded with Paul Toboni on how he views the world, how he views the game of baseball. Toboni said, when we talked with him, that while being a previous manager at the major league level was a feather in the cap, it wasn't going to be the end-all, be-all, it wasn't going to be a prerequisite, he is looking for people that aren't just solely analytical, but who are open-minded to data and R&D, and who think like the old guard in some ways as well. He is that guy. He played college baseball. He played professional baseball, and then he became a data-driven R&D analytics guy. He's got both backgrounds. You know who else is cut from that same cloth? Blake Butera,
yep,
who played at Boston College for 4 years, was drafted, found out at about 25 years old, this ain't going to work. I'm probably not going to make the big leagues. They loved him so much internally in the organization, they said, you know, we think you could be a really good coach if you want to start doing that. And he immediately starts managing a team by the time he's 25 years old in the minors. But he's got the playing background. He views the game through that lens. He's got the reverence and respect for the scouts that view the game as a former player. But he's also got the chops of the R&D, the data. They're trying to blend the two together. I think that's really smart. For the people that will knock this based on his age, Sean McVay was hired to be an NFL head coach just past 30 years old. I remember all kinds of mud being slung at him. But all of us who knew Sean McVay, I'd been around him for an extended period of time in D.C., really got to know him. I remember talking to him on the phone as he was interviewing for jobs for San Francisco, L.A., some of the other stops that were calling him. And he said one of the things he thought that was best about his interview process is he was able to go into all those rooms, Danny, and tell those teams, Wade Phillips is coming with me wherever I end up. If I go to the Niners, he's my DC in San Fran. If I go to the Rams, he's my DC in LA. And he thought it gave him this added credibility of being with a real veteran lifer who he had sat down with and convinced to be a package deal. And I bring this up to say maybe you need to have a bench coach that's experienced.
Right, you're grizzled, gray-haired, 65-year-old.
Maybe you need somebody with some pelts on the wall on the staff. But McVay was smart enough to know that his age helped him a lot. Relatability. The way he viewed the sport, being able to keep up with some of the trends, the energy he was going to bring to the job, all of those things. But there were also shortcomings, and he was able to work around those deficiencies by having a staff around him that could allow him to do that. And that's going to be important for Butera. But this idea that someone is young so they're unqualified is flawed. I love what Washington is doing. They are trying to reinvent themselves after years of failing and hitting at way too low a batting average in both draft and development every move they've made has been to kind of make a sea change and go in a completely different direction in both areas.
You could see it. Yeah. I mean, the hope here is that you look up in 15 years and these two have made beautiful music together. This is your, you know, Dan Campbell, Brad Holmes type relationship, to borrow again from football. You're hoping that those two guys, you know, cut across multiple different casts of players as you kind of go forward, right? As you have multiple builds in this thing. And it's a way to be sustainable even when you don't win the bidding war for Bryce Harper. Again, I keep coming back to Juan Soto or Shohei Ohtani or, the next superstar where this is the only way to do it is the one, you know, moonshot where we go win the bidding and the free agent happens to like the school system here and wants to live in this area, et cetera. There are a million things pulling in that direction. You need to control the controllables, which again is your talent development, what you do internally. Players that, I don't mean to say this in a kind of crude way, but players that don't have a choice. In other words, I draft Grant Paulson to the Washington Nationals. I got you for years. What can I get out of you? Right? Once you've earned big league service time, you got the right to free agency. I don't begrudge that. You go do what you want. You can sign here, sign somewhere else. That's part of the process. But there are years where I, as the team, can get great value out of you. That must be maximized. And it can't be once. It can't be a couple of times. Isn't it a nice story that Jacob Young is a Gold Glove finalist? No. You need an organizational-wide, endless army of production that you can then supplement with free agency. This is the most efficient, efficient is not the right word. This is the way to do it without winning every bidding war and be sustainably competitive.
Here's what I want to know about this hire now and what the next things to figure out are. Okay, the Nats go get a 33-year-old skipper. Not official yet, but soon after the World Series, they'll be introducing Butera as their new manager. What does this staff look like? I just talked about bench coach. Does he have to hire a former big league manager to be his bench coach? I think it's hard to find a guy whose ego allows him to take a job like that, who's been a skipper before, but you can find possible options. One name that was floated to me, and this would be really interesting, if Rocco Baldelli does not get a managerial job, I would not be surprised if he's in the discussion here as a bench coach. Somebody like that with that type of experience.
Yeah, played at the highest level, has managed before.
Exactly. Yeah. That would be significant. I hope they go young on the staff with teachers. I hope they go young with guys like Butera as, you know, possible instructors, developers. You're not going to stop developing at the major league level when you've got a young rebuilding team. So fill out the staff with as many guys like him as possible. I think the pitching coach hiring is going to be huge. I hope Sean Doolittle is still involved in the organization in some capacity on that part of the staff. But the bench coach now is what I'm most interested in.
Yeah.
You can go super young, no big league experience, very little managerial experience at a very low level of the minors if you want to. But I do think they need someone with some pelts on the wall on that staff. So I think that becomes important part of it.
I like that thought process because there is an inevitable pushback. I mean, Jason Worth, who's from a different time, a different breed, told us a funny story about when he's in Seattle for a cup of coffee at the end of his career, Analytics Andy comes up and goes, "You should try to pull the ball in the air." Don't talk to me anymore. You know what I mean? Like, there's a translation there.
He literally, right? Yeah, basically verbally gave the guy a swirly.
Yeah.
And he told us that story. Now, I will push back and say a lot of the Jason Worths of baseball are kind of dying off. Proverbial.
Oh, totally.
He's not in baseball anymore, and I think that's symbolic of there are guys like him, but there's a lot less guys like him than there used to be.
Totally fair. I use that as an extreme example, but there's a, hey, we're going to try this, and with that, and it's like, what? You know, it's hard. I can't come up with a great example because, you know, some of the rules now, you can't do super shifting, but like, if shifts were legal and he came in as the 33-year-old, not having played in the big leagues, and he's like, all right, we're going to have 8 guys line up to the left of second base. I may not want to do that from you, dude, that never played at this level. And then if Big League Billy is there, who's done it before, is going, no, guys, here's why, and I'll explain it to you in terms you can understand. Being able to walk both sides of the line, I think, is important. And a guy with big league experience that's been in, you know, that's made those pitching changes, that's gone through a grind of a season of 162 plus spring training and everything else, understands the bumps and the bruises and everything that goes with it, that might help solidify, reinforce, translate into terms that, you know, the guy that didn't grow up in the era of VR training in your hotel room, you know, might be able to understand.
True. Also, you got to think about the team that they have and that they will have. They're not going to have many guys older than him. You know, there are big league clubhouses where you slot in a 33-year-old manager who's never done it before in the Dodgers clubhouse, let's say, with a bunch of superstar MVPs on their way to the Hall of Fame, or maybe the Yankees clubhouse, and maybe there would be a little bit more butting of heads. you're bringing him in to match the energy of the youth, of the exuberance of all a bunch of kids that are learning to play baseball at the major league level. There was a lack of accountability. There was a lack of instruction. There was a lack of fundamental teaching, in my opinion. And if they were teaching it at a high level, it wasn't sticking. So it doesn't matter because the message wasn't getting through. Hopefully a lot of that changes. I also want to know what this hire means for the roster, because here's my perception. I don't think you go out and get a 33-year-old manager if you're Paul Toboni this week, if you're not planning on really rebuilding this thing and being young and, frankly, wearing it at the major league level for a couple of seasons. When he was sitting in this seat in studio, point blank asked him something along the lines of, hey, it's not that hard to accidentally get to a wild card like the Reds did. Mm-hmm. If you go out and spend some money this offseason, you could be in the 82 to 85 win mix if everything goes right and you stay healthy. Is that the goal, or would you rather really detonate this thing? I know it's been a lengthy rebuild, but do it the right way, start over, and see if you can have more success and ask for more patience from a fan base that has been very patient. This hiring makes me think that they're doing the latter. I don't think you bring in a 33-year-old who hasn't managed above single A, who is a player development mind and a minor league instructor, if you're planning on trying to win right away and go add veterans. So this, to me, signifies that maybe you do trade Mackenzie Gore, which I think they should do this offseason. It means that maybe you do shop C.J. Abrams. I'm less excited and inclined to do that. I'd move him to second and try to extend him. But that would be an option for them as well. So I look at this hiring as to what does it mean about Toboni's mindset and philosophy going forward. And it makes me think, Danny, this is not a we've got a foundation I really like. Let's add a couple of veterans and try to get over 500 in the next year or so. I think this actually signifies they may do the opposite.
You may be right about that. I hadn't thought of it in those terms exactly, but you know, you when you come into a new situation and clean house this way, there is some, I know I understand the backdrop of the fans that have been here the whole time where Toboni and company have not. And we're going, come on, dude. I'm looking at my watch. It's been 6 years. When?
This is year seven. I've been waiting since 2019. This is year eight. And Toboni's going, nah, bro, this is year two. What are you talking
about?
And
I think both are valid, right? But from a fan's perspective, I get it. Because if they're you know, lowering ticket prices in an interim, okay, fine. But they're not, right?
There's only one way to do it right, though.
Yeah.
And Toboni needs to listen to nobody on the outside.
Yes.
And go come in here and do it the correct way at the correct pace. And if that means you lose butts and seats, so be it.
So be it. Yeah,
if that means we'll see in 3 years, guys. I mean, all you can do is do it the right way.
Yeah, and the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Totally. And the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow is worth it, is kind of the point here. Now, it was the first time. I mean, there was a lot of losing. They opened up the new ballpark with a bad team, which is rare. You don't usually see that. Yes.
08, 09, 10, 11, and then some of 12.
Yeah, and then that 11 team that finished 80-81 was kind of the first glimpse of, and then they're off to the races in 2012. That took a while. I don't know that it takes as long, but it's going to take some time. And I think that's what this signing it probably signifies. I think you went to the next step very well.
But the Wizards are the example here of that's not a good atmosphere right now. Go to a Wizards game.
Yeah.
You know, unless people are there for the opposing fan base is showing up for their team or whatever, there's a lot of nights where it's pretty dead at Capital One Arena. You can't worry about that right now.
Right.
What you're telling Ted Leonsis, if you're, you know, Winger and Dawkins, is we're going to build it and they're going to come. You'll make the money on the back end, trust us. Believe in this process that we're executing right here. And that's what Toboni's got to do. Last thing that I'm curious about with this hire, how much does Toboni end up being involved? And I don't mean him specifically, although he's part of it. Like the front office get involved in management. A lot of these newer school teams, a lot of times with managers at the big league level, especially the younger, and I would think 33-year-old, youngest in 50 years, Butera qualifies for this. If you're not dealing with a Dusty Baker or a Tony La Russa or, you know, a Brian Snitker, or one of these dudes who's been around for a long time or whatever, Bruce Bochy, They're going to bang heads with you every time you want to tell them what needs to be done in the lineup, right? I don't know how much that's going to be the case. Are the Nats going to be a team where the game's kind of managed before it starts in a lot of ways? Where, hey, here's your lineup.
Yeah, here's today's matchups that we want and that we don't want.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you are not to have name that reliever against name this hitter.
Seventh inning, when this guy pitches, these are the two guys you can use against him. You just give him the answer key. I think there's going to be a lot of that with this organization probably, just as they get more data intensive. I'm perfectly okay with that, by the way. I think that's kind of what the sport is now. You get a lot of that even with the Dodgers and a guy like Dave Roberts. But I wonder how much a part of the process that was for Toboney. If you're Adam Peters, you get one shot to run your own shop, maybe. So you come in here and you go, what head coach can I work with that I really like that can build a culture and be a, you know, nice symbiotic relationship with me, but also I'm going to get to do some of the things I want to do. Yeah. Dan Quinn's going to say yes a lot because we see things the same way, or because he just wants to coach ball. And maybe someone else might have wanted a little more power and you're going to butt heads. I wonder with Toboney if you go, you know, this guy would be good, but I really like the way this guy sees the game. And also, I think he's going to be able to work with us a little more on how we want to manage this thing from the front office. I wonder how much a factor that's going to be moving forward here.
I think that's, again, another good question. I think you need to be able to do both. So in other words, my spreadsheet can, you know, this isn't anti-analytics, but my spreadsheet, again, can tell me today's best matchup is Grant Paulson and his sinker against Darius Dameron and the fact that, you know, he swings over the top a lot of balls. That could be my spreadsheet. Well, I'm going to know that day. Grant comes to me and goes, God, my arm is barking, Skip. I feel overworked. I got up a couple times last week. My back's a little bit sore. I didn't sleep great in the hotel room, right? So all of a sudden, that spreadsheet needs to be, you know what? I can't do that spreadsheet today. I got to manage a little bit by feel. I've got your data, but I also need to be able to defend my choices above. I went with my gut. We can't just do that, but we also can't be a slave to anything, right?
I think managers manage in-game and make fewer decisions now than ever before.
Agreed.
So much is dictated. So what do you want in a manager? You want a relationship builder. You want someone who runs and keeps a very harmonious clubhouse, has really good relationships with players. And I think in the Nationals case, Danny, you want a player development mind.
And that's needed right now, yeah.
And that's what they're bringing in. Think AJ Hinch when he got the job coming off PD roles. Gabe Kapler is cut from a, you know, similar type of cloth, having done both the coaching and the developing at the minor league level. So an exciting day for the Nationals. Again, 35-year-old president, 33-year-old manager. The youth movement is very much on for Washington. Speaking of DC's teams, how about we get into the Commanders next on Grant and Danny? They're getting ready for Seattle. The Seahawks are number 3 on offense and number 3 on defense. This is a really good team. If they lose on Sunday Night Football, do we think they will sell at the deadline? You're listening to Grant and Danny.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. Mm. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
ARC Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARC and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARC Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Thank you. Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for nonstop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
Now they have to recover from the penalty. You go down 2 scores. The way the offense is playing in this environment could be trouble. And right for the end zone and scoring and dunking is Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Flags down afterward for the celebration. But Darnold strikes to JSN.
ESPN's call of Monday Night Football a week and a half ago. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. One of the 12 touchdown passes against just 4 picks for Sam Darnold this football season. He's only turned the ball over in 2 games this year. He's been pretty smart about not putting the ball in harm's way. 28 years old, you're starting to see why he was a first-round pick the last couple of years. Quarterbacking the Vikings last year as they went 14-3. Now at the helm in Seattle as they're off to a 5-2 start. And Danny, the gauntlet continues with a really good Seattle team on Sunday night. You get back from Arrowhead. You played a Chiefs team that might be right now going at the highest rate of anybody in the NFL, averaging about 30 points over the last 3 weeks. Here come the Seahawks.
No rest for the weary, man.
Number 3 on offense, yards per play, 6.03 per pop. This is the number 1 passing offense in the entire NFL, 8.73 per pop. Anybody struggling to stop the pass? And then you look at the defensive side of the ball, and similarly, Seattle ranks number 3 in the entire NFL, number 2 in the conference. They're the number 1 run-stopping defense in all of football. Giddy up. The gauntlet continues.
One game where they've given up more than 20 points. That was the epic against Tampa Bay. But they actually dropped it home, 38-35, one of the games of the year. Other than that, it's a whole bunch of really good defense. Well under 300 yards allowed per game. I mean, you look at some of these totals. San Francisco, even week 1, the game they lost was still a mud fight. 265, 195, 205, 164, 370. There's your aberration. 214, 198. That is a really good defense, man. That is a really, really, really sound, solid defense. You cannot run against them. To me, we talked about this last few weeks where we're going, against the Bears, establish a run, see what you can do. Run against them. Against Dallas, terrible rush defense. Rush against them. Kansas City, not so much. This is a group, I don't know how much I'd like run plays called. You got to do it just enough, but any run to me needs to be directly correlated to setting something else up. It's one of those, yeah, you got to eat your vegetables, man. There's a great slice of pie at the end of this meal. Here's some steamed broccoli with no flavor on it. Just guzzle that down and get smacked.
So it's funny. Every week I feel like I have a pretty good lean on what side of the ball I'm more worried about. And more often than not with this team, it's Washington's defense, if I'm being honest. I don't know which side of the matchup I hate more this week. An offense without the vertical threat of Terry McLaurin, who's out again, against what is, I think, one of the best defenses in the sport. Again, they rank 3rd. I'm not convinced right now I would take Denver or anybody else over them. The way they stop the run, the way they don't have to blitz, they rush 4 more than anybody. They blitz at one of the lowest rates in the league, and yet they still have one of the highest pressure rates in the league. Leonard Williams at end is playing awesome. Like, their entire defensive front is guys whose names everybody knows, and they're just playing their butts off right now. But on the flip side, offensively, I mentioned it, number 1 in passing yards per play against this secondary, that's petrifying. And Sam Darnold was the butt of jokes for a long time. He is balling right now. Accurate, touch down the field. He is slippery in the pocket. He moves around. There's an athleticism and a mobility to him when you go back and watch some of their games that maybe you don't anticipate. He's mostly going to stay in the pocket. I kind of like his style. He is not really looking to scramble to run. He is looking to create and extend. And he's done it all season long. And oh, by the way, they've got a wide receiver coming to town here who is the best wide receiver probably that the Commanders have faced all season.
That's a bad dude, man.
One of the real stars in this league this year is Jackson Smith and Jigba, who was the 23-year-old former 20th overall pick 2 years ago. And he is all grown up. 50 catches, over 800 yards already this season. He's had games this year, Danny. By the way, he scored in three straight games. But he's gone for 120, 160, 130, 100, 120, 95. His worst game of the year was a 79-yard game where he averaged about 20 per catch. That was his worst game of the year.
And they don't have much else in the passing game. It's a couple other guys get just enough looks so that you know they're not just going to him. But
he's got the highest target share, highest percentage of receiving yards by team in the league. It's not even close.
He's a one-man band in the receiving game. They've got Cooper Kupp as a compliment, but he's got about a quarter of the yards. 293 for Kupp, 819 for JSN. He's excellent. And there's a smoothness to it too, right? It's not this, with like A.J. Brown, you could see, like this guy that's big and twitchy and a monster and strong as hell and can run by you. The same with like DK Metcalf. Or an Amon-Ra St. Brown who's, you know, wouldn't get wet in the shower if he didn't want to. You know what I mean? JSN doesn't look like he's going that much faster than you are, but he does. He is smooth as silk in terms of route running, precision, hands catching, in traffic, out of traffic. He does everything. He's awesome. And they don't need anything else. They are determined to push you around and bully you with Kenneth Walker, Zach Charbonnet, and hit those play actions, hit those things, you know, behind the linebackers, in front of the safeties. He runs the whole route tree. He's awesome.
That's the latest of the wide receivers out of Ohio State that's broken out. But I think the debate's over. There were some other schools in the conversation.
That's receiver you, as far as I'm concerned.
LSU might be close. Like, they churn them out with Jefferson
that's
and
true.
Chase and Brian Thomas Jr. But I think in terms of volume, we just saw Emeka Egbuka of Tampa Bay on national TV. How good is that guy, who was the 19th overall pick last year out of Ohio State? Marvin Harrison Jr. has been a little bit disappointing, but he was the number 4 pick in 2024. Smith and Jigba, who went 20th, was the big receiver in 2023. In 22, they had Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave drafted in the first round. You go back to 2020, they had two wide receivers drafted. In 2019, it was Terry McLaurin and Paris Campbell, bit of a disappointment. Noah Brown and Curtis Samuel before that. Braxton Miller and Michael Thomas, don't forget. I'm now all the way back to like 2012, but this is, for my money, the school that makes and creates the best wide receivers in football, and he might be the best of the bunch, certainly playing at the highest level right now, Jackson Smith and Jigba. So here's my question then, Danny. If this game ends badly, you're an underdog.
Yep.
It's hard to imagine Washington winning, but maybe Jaden turns the clock back to 2024 and puts on the cape and you win a game, you know, 33-29 or something. If that doesn't happen and you lose, do we think they will actually sell off pieces at the deadline on Tuesday? I know that you want them to.
Yeah, it's not about what I want.
I want them to also. Most of you listening, it's very easy for us, driving in our cars, sitting in our houses, looking at a 3-6 team to say, operate like it's fantasy football, get your picks for next year and keep it moving. But in reality, where you're going into a locker room and telling guys like Wagner and Ertz who are maybe around for one last ride, this thing's over, doesn't work that way. And it's also just not that common in this sport that you do that. So I don't think they will sell. I keep hearing people saying, well, if you lose, at least the decision's easy, and they'll start trading people away. I don't think they would. I think they would just kind of keep moving forward as if, you know, normal in football that you would do this, but as if you still got a shot.
Yeah, it's boring, sadly, but I agree with you. I don't think they will. And I think part of the selling point, and this is the stuff that's easier for me to say as a you know, non-interested observer. I guess I am interested in the outcome, but you know what I mean. Like, it's easier for me not having the relationships that those guys have, but think of the selling point. Think of Adam Peters and Lance Newmark and all those guys. Think of the pitch to name that veteran, right? To name that Von Miller, that one-year guy that here's why you're coming here to do X, and we're punting on that. That's a tougher thing because you're now, to a degree, going back on your word in those guys' minds. My view of it is, you didn't do enough. This is on you guys. I'm trading people away because you guys don't deserve reinforcements and you don't deserve to finish out the rest of the season. I have that harsh view of it where I go, The reason we're trading people away isn't because everything's great. I'm not doing it to save a buck. I'm doing it because we're 3-6. I'm doing it because this veteran group didn't get done what we need them to get done. Therefore, you lost your seat. You lost your chance. Much easier for me to say out here than it is in those rooms. I don't think they're going to trade people. I think they should, but they won't.
Yeah, I don't think they would either. I also wonder what they would be able to get and for who. As an example, if you put Daron Payne on the block, someone's got to be willing to take on a huge cap number moving forward. If you're doing that, are you giving me a good draft pick too? And if you're not giving me a good draft pick, what is the point of that? I'm not in a situation, I have the third most cap money in the entire National Football League, where I just need you to take money off my ledger. I'm looking for picks. I'm looking for value in the way of getting younger and having more compensation. I had the lowest total number of players added in this past year's draft in the entire league, and I have one of the lowest totals of picks going into this year's draft, and certainly over the first three or four rounds in this year's draft of anybody. So I'm trying to add selections. If you're taking on money, you normally don't give up good picks too. There's no real reason for a team to do both. So I don't know, like, who would you even dangle? Who on this team has a ton of value that gets you something legitimate back? Someone like Terry McLaurin is having a down year and is super banged up. Teams need wide receivers. They're not trading for Terry McLaurin. So you take him off the list. Debo Samuel's got an expiring contract. Maybe would be of interest to teams. Debo Samuel has not been the same the last couple of weeks with his heel injury. Is on the injury report day in and day out now. I don't see him as someone, you know, that is tradable necessarily if you wanted to do that. And the other question that needs to be asked is, do you really want to start moving offensive pieces, whether that's, you know, people protecting Jaden Daniels or he's throwing to, when you're trying to develop a quarterback in year two? I mean, how much are you willing to let Daniels struggle the rest of this season in a year where he's already taken a step back as it pertains to his big picture development? So I think you got to be thoughtful and mindful of that too.
That's all factors you got to consider. I mean, I don't think there's a, if they just do this, it's a first round pick jackpot they're waiting on, or even a second or whatever. But I mean, to me, if you're serious about doing it, and I am, you got to start thinking about guys like Luvu, where you're going to give up next year of Frankie Luvu to get something that's pretty decent. You got to move on from Daron Payne. Maybe you package it to a team that might want something. You got to give up something to get something, which is, you know, a pretty obvious axiom. But I'm willing to do that to get at the expense of getting younger and getting some more draft capital. Again, I don't know if there's, you don't just do it to hear yourself make a phone call, but if there's a transaction that makes sense, you get above a certain marker. I'd rather have 2/5 that I can move and change into something else, right? Than to just go, you know, 5-12 with a bunch of vets.
Do you guys think the Commanders would be interested in trading off pieces or selling if they lose a fourth straight game this weekend and they're 3-6 at that point with a loss to Seattle? Or I guess at that point they'd be, yeah, 3-6. Staring at the matchup with Detroit that could get them to 3-7. 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in on Grant and Danny. 800-636-1067. Coming up in 20 minutes at the top of the hour, we'll play a little Dead or Alive with teams on the bubble in the NFL. And in an hour and 20 minutes at 4, we're giving away Caps tickets to somebody listening right here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required, just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most. Running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Our Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day is available right now on the 106.7 The Fan Twitter. Metropolitan Moving and Storage, the official unofficial mover of 106.7 The Fan, local, long distance, residential, or commercial. 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. We just posted the question, so go vote now. Do you think the Commanders would actually sell at the deadline if they lose a fourth straight game and they're 3-6? And I think most of us would understand if you lose to Seattle and you're 1-5 in the conference that you're cooked and you're not making the playoffs at that point. The chances of them making the playoffs will be in the single digits, something like 5 or 6%. I still don't think they would sell. I just don't know if they have that kind of gear in them to line it up in punt formation. Danny, it sounds like you're with me.
Yeah. I wish it was more exciting. I just don't believe that the culture that they're trying to establish, that's, again, they had a crossroads last year. They could have tried to take, you know, get their teeth kicked in and build for the future, but they said, no, it's more important for us to establish a culture. It's hard to go back on that at this point, so I don't think they will.
Let's go to Elijah in D.C. Elijah, we're not asking if you think they should sell. Do you think they would sell?
I don't think that you guys just really just hit it. I don't think they would sell because that's just counterproductive to the message that they're putting out, and I think he's willing. And Dan Quinn is a player coach, and I think he's willing to go out or to go for at bat for his guy. But you kind of brought up another point that I was thinking about, like knowing what we know now. Even we had this magical fun last year. Would you have stayed put and just drafted and built around Jaden? Because I got another analogy for you, man. It feels like the character from Shrek, the little cat in the boots, man. And it almost feels like you get googly eyes. And I feel like they tried to not get googly eyes for Jaden, but it's almost like they got googly eyes and like, we'll just have what we used to have for him.
Well, yeah, hindsight having become wisdom, knowing what we know now, of course that would have been more prudent because you'd be in the same situation and you'd have more picks. I didn't disagree with what they did at the time, so I'm not going to walk it back now and act like they made some giant mistake, but it has certainly backfired. Injuries are part of that. There are other reasons why Daniels and everybody else has taken some type of step back this season, and you'd like to have not gone as much in for this year in hindsight as you did. But I didn't have a problem with it at the time, so
no,
I'm not going to
kill
them for it. But it's a good phone call. Thank you. Let's go to Lou in Silver Spring. Lou, do you think they would sell if they drop a fourth straight?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I think you absolutely have to. I think anything else is going to be malpractice because realistically, our only path to make the playoffs is going to be to win the division. That's not going to happen this year. I think you could get some value out of maybe Deron Payne or somebody, as far as everybody else, I don't really know. But I think if you really want to support Jaden, I think the best way to do it is going to be to stop putting 40-year-old Band-Aids on every little deficiency we have. And, we need a game wrecker on pass rush. And, he said he wanted to do it through the draft. I think he's got to hold firm to that, get some value, and let's go.
Yeah, it's time.
Appreciate you.
I mean, they haven't necessarily been doing that the last couple of years, to your point. Here's what I don't know, Danny. Can Dan Quinn stand in front of the wall, literally a painted wall in their meeting room? Not, me joking.
I think this is the essential question.
And the wall in their meeting room says, anybody, anytime, anywhere. It's a giant paint job mural in there where they all meet. Can he stand in front of them after trading two or three of your veterans and say, all right, and turn his hat around backwards? And give you the next slogan and tell you, anybody, anytime, anywhere, unless we're 3-6 and we've lost 4 in a row.
Yeah, in which case, here's the white flag and we're waving it.
But that's what they did down 21 with 7 minutes to go this week.
I mean, to me, I'm sorry, that's tough, that it's part of the job. You don't want the millions. You don't, you can shrink from those conversations. And that's, I would force him to do those sorts of things. It's ugly, but that's part of the business. But I don't see them doing that.
Adam Rockville, you're on Grant and Danny. What's good?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I agree. You gotta start rebuilding if you lose this game. There's no future here. But I think everyone needs to start thinking about the conditioning of the players so they don't get injured, protecting the quarterback so he doesn't have to scramble and get hurt. I think you've got a question of the defensive coaching and what's going on there. It's been one quarter of fantastic defense, and everything else has been Swiss cheese. And I really think that this team needs to think rebuild at this point if they lose this next game. That's what I think.
So maybe I bristle too much at the word rebuild. Someone else said that yesterday and I took issue with it. And perhaps I'm being reactionary or just too defensive. I don't think rebuild is in the lexicon when you have a quarterback who's a top 10 QB in the league. So if Jaden Daniels is who everybody said he was after last season, there's no such thing as like bottoming out, trading a bunch of pieces off. This is not baseball where we're talking about Paul Toboni hiring a 33-year-old manager and then wearing it for three seasons as you build up the minor leagues. It's a completely different sport. You can microwave this thing. And with a quarterback like Daniels, in theory, you should be able to compete every week. Now, we're talking about this year that not happening. Last year, he elevates Alameda Zacchaeus. He elevates De'Ami Brown. He elevates Jamison Crowder. You still won with a lot of average pieces in a lot of spots. You had a rookie left tackle playing that you've basically demoted two times since, who started in an NFC championship game. So I disagree with the idea of a rebuild, but I think there is a point to be made there in terms of how you reassess going forward with urgency.
Yeah, I don't think we have a better word for it than rebuild, right? But it just means stop doing, as the guy said, jokingly, 40-year-olds and go with some kids.
Here's how I'd say it. You've been prioritizing veterans. You need to start prioritizing draft picks.
And I think that, to a lot of people, just triggers the word rebuild, but which I think I understand that it's not. You and I are on the same page there. It's just I don't have a better word for it. Call it retool, call it get younger and faster. Whatever shorthand you want, that's what needs to happen.
Should they sell? Maybe that's an interesting question. Perhaps people out there don't think that they should. We'll take your calls at 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny. Plus, the Commanders, for the second time this month, are going up against a head coach they interviewed when they hired Dan Quinn. What do we make of Mike McDonald and what he's become in Seattle, a former candidate for this job? That's next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for non-stop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.